When we think about what is going on in awareness itself, first off, that's a thinking, and we want to acknowledge that. Second off, if the thinking will be within the scope of one's personal and dimensional experience space that has been ripened, that's a good word, ripened within one's fields of consciousness. Let me repeat that more or less. When we consider any experience we are having, so that's any experience in any range of our totality of experiences, all that is included in our mental processes, all that includes perception, thinking, cognizing itself, that full range. Therefore, whatever for each of us is awareness, that includes all emotions, all feelings, all sensations, from the most sublime to the most coarse, and everything in between. Again, it includes all sensations, all modes of perception, and so forth. So, all of that for each of us is particular, unique, individual. We know that because that's why some people enjoy, let's say, Indian food, and other people prefer, something more Italian or something like that. We know that because of how each of us, how we cognize, and that it is completely individual. We know that because of how each of us dresses in the morning, the toothpaste we choose to use, the locations in which we live, they are individual. And yet everyone lives somewhere. So the individuality shows up in where and how. That is to say, how did we appoint our home and so forth. All of that individuality is possible only because, and this is just logical, only because all that fodder for making choice, for naming a perception, for the type of experiences that we have and register that we are having are familiar to us. They are within our range of consciousness. They are therefore familiar. If someone had never tasted, let's say, cardamom or garam masala, then how would they know if they like Indian food or not? And similarly, so if someone were blind, then it will not be by the visible color, blue or purple or yellow, by which they're going to adorn themselves. It will be by some other set. Maybe it's a vibration. Maybe somebody told them, a friend told them, these two colors go well together. Well, of course, that telling would be according to the person that was sighted, right? That is to say, those colors are familiar to that person. This is important, or significant, I should say, because this range that we all have is, first off, quite substantial, and quite more substantial than what the vast majority of humanity utilizes, even though Even though we have quite a range, the vast majority of humanity only uses a small range, a small, very familiar, and we call that habits of consciousness. So that's again worth really looking at through our day, really looking at when we go to do our morning routine, including whatever beverage is our morning beverage and so forth, that it's in the morning. And you know, I mean, everything, right, can be used for examination, discovery, direct experience, and so forth. So, one more piece before meditation is this idea of direct experience. Everyone is constantly having direct experience, of course. Who else is experiencing? And can it ever be indirect? I hope everyone is laughing because really, can experience ever be indirect? I don't know. My familiar habits of consciousness, they answer that question with laughter. Maybe there's another answer. I don't know. But and here's the big BUT. Is the direct experience that all of us are having every single nanosecond, that direct experience, which is always multidimensional. How do we know that? Because we've already done all our work with mandala. The way we did it, not in, you know, a ritualized way, right? All of our senses, everything that's going on simultaneously, that mandala. But because there's so much going on simultaneously, that's when the habituated tracks, the grooves in our consciousness, they take precedence. And that's what mitigates the directness of everyone's full range of experience that every nanosecond is providing. This is so significant. Now, how do I know that? Why can I say that with such passion and conviction to you before we meditate? Because from the time I was born, I have had and still do extrasensory perception of quite a wide range. So from the time I was born in this incarnation, what I perceived was almost always not only additional to what somebody else was perceiving, but I was told from the time I was a child, when you're learning your colors and you're learning that type of thing, that what I was perceiving was not what was there. Only because my mother, my father, and so forth could only perceive what they could perceive. So, you know, I had to sort that out pretty early in life that, oh, there's more going on here than what some people can perceive. It wasn't that I was wrong and they were right, or vice versa. That wasn't at all germane or correct. It just was simply, there's more going on here for some of us than there is for others. So right away, this tremendous understanding is part of my reality. So I say that not for any me or my reasons, but as an example of the habits of consciousness and what exists for us, what exists for us, what is direct experience for each of us? How full is that range? How full do we let that range be? I know someone who is constantly experiencing more, a lot, constantly experiencing a lot, and speaks from it eloquently, and then totally dismisses it. In the very next sentence, totally dismisses it. It's a conundrum to me. To be honest, it's a total conundrum. I have yet to be able to wrap my head around that. Or, so all I can do is hold it in my heart and hold her in my heart. I don't get it. But that's according to my habits of consciousness that I don't get it, that I can't wrap my head around that. So let us all smile. Smile with how amazing each of our range of awareness is. And because awareness and empathy, if we want to use that word instead of compassion, awareness and empathy, empathetic response, compassionate responsiveness, these two are inseparable. Awareness and response. Well, response by nature is empathetic. Even when it's totally misguided, even when it's, really ascend to, it still is a response. When a response is by nature empathetic. So let us smile and breathe for a moment. The wonder, the awe, that even if there is not a belief in anything I just offered, that's fine. Everyone has to discover this for themselves. At the same time, we can all smile and breathe with the possibility. Let's say we don't, there's not a belief in what I just said. Doesn't make so. No, there is indirect experience, for example. And recognize with that smile that really everything exists in this collection called mind. We're not going down the road yet of the idea of what is illusory, what is truly existent, all that kind of stuff. That's not the point here. We're all sitting. We have bones. We have a butt. We have whatever we're sitting on. The room has all its furniture. There's whatever. All that's there. To call it a butt, to call it a chair, to call it a rug, that's in the mind making it so. because I could call the chair an elephant and I would still be sitting on it. The name of it doesn't matter. What matters is what, how it's used. What is our interaction with it? Right? Right? And again, the awe, the wonder. Let us breathe that for a moment of how limitless, truly, truly limitless the possibility and potential is. And in a completely non-dual, therefore inseparable, right? Inseparable, that's what that means. Way, I and you, we have our grooves. We have our habits of consciousness that there's no way that I would say that this is an elephant. I'm sitting in a chair. Now, I know I can play that game with myself. And yeah, it can be an elephant. Totally. The word for it could be elephant, not a problem. For somebody else, that would be a big problem. They wouldn't even be able to consider that because of the groove. And that happens again every moment of every day. And the widening of our own possibilities is already within us. We are pure awareness. We are embodied awareness. All it requires of each of us, no matter how expansive we consider our awareness to be, no matter how free we consider our cognition and our processes to be unencumbered and therefore truly direct. So, whatever's the range that each of us considers that for ourselves, obviously it can be more. Without judgment, and not from the point of view of measure, but from the point of view of just freedom, possibilities, and what that means for each of us, and what that means for everything and everyone we will interact with, moment by moment. How amazing! So let's just sit here and breathe that fact. And every time the mind, the habituated, concrete, almost rigid, and therefore fragile, and that's an important consideration. Mind, emotion complex. That is the core of the self, which is why the self is so actually so vulnerable because it knows how fragile it is. But as we sit for the rest of our time, another 10 minutes or so, in the openness, in the possibilities, in the wonder. And how heartful that is. You know, expands, it's heartful. Whenever the mind, in its habits, gets contracted, contracts. Feel it for what it is. It is a contraction. It is that, where's the groove? Oh, shouldn't it be like this? Shouldn't I be doing this? La la la, right? Feel it for what it is. And just let it go. Let it go into the vast expanse that each of us is. The vast expanse of heart awareness, heart full awareness. We breathe.